Every day, 800,000 barrels of crude oil are loaded into tank cars in North Dakota, headed for places like Yorktown, Virginia, where it's transferred to barges bound for refineries along the East Coast. Some of these trains are more than 100 cars long, and the American Association of Railroads is worried. Spokesman Patricia Riley says many of the cars leased to carry crude oil are old and were not designed for the job.
They don't have pressure relief valves. They don't have the full thermal jacket. They don't have full head shields on either one. They're very vulnerable to penetrating accidents, and if they're carrying the volatile gases that we're seeing coming out of the Bakken shale formation these days, that's where it's a bad combination.
Companies that produce or refine crude oil agree. Charlie Drevna's with the American Petrochemical Manufacturers Association.
My industry has already petitioned the Department of Transportation to certify a more of an advanced car, more robust structure, better relief valves, all those kind of things.
And the federal government has advised railroads and shippers to avoid the older tank cars when carrying crude oil. But with so much of the stuff produced in North Dakota, companies that lease cars may be reluctant to take any out of service. U.S. Senator Mark Warner told a forum in Richmond that those firms may not have the money to replace an estimated 80,000 older tank cars known as DOT-111s.
From 2008 to 2013, the amount of crude being transported has increased 46-fold. You got the folks who produce the oil making a lot of money. You got the railroads who are doing pretty well as well. But people who own the rail cars are a totally separate group, so they don't necessarily have the same kind of resources.
Whatever the cost, the federal government is likely to propose a timetable for retiring the old DOT-111s. Look for that by year's end. But remember this footnote. Cynthia Quarterman, who heads the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, says sturdier cars won't prevent future accidents like the one that killed 47 people in Quebec.
The change in the tank car standard will increase their ability to withstand a crash, but I don't think we're going to see a tank car that can withstand an incident like the one that occurred in Lac-Mégantic, where a tank car was going 60 miles per hour.
The federal government and the railroads have agreed to lower the speed limit to 40 miles an hour for trains carrying Bakken crude through 46 metropolitan areas, none of them in Virginia. But critics note the Lynchburg train derailed at 24 miles an hour. True, says Federal Railway Administrator Joe Szabo, but only one car exploded.
There's not significant risk when it's a single tank car that ruptures. When you have a piling up, that's where your risk grows for a more serious event.
So the feds and the railroads have also agreed to improve braking methods to try and prevent pileups in the event of a crash. In Lynchburg, however, the accident was likely caused by another problem, the rail itself. In our next report, we'll explain how tracks are maintained in Virginia and why doubling down on inspections may not prevent future calamities. I'm Sandy Houseman.